We're starting the show with a little weebiness. It's the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Poppyhead Productions. Weeb number one, Sean here. Weeb number two, Danny. How are you, man?
Oh, man. I'm doing pretty good. Should I be Sundari and be like, how do you want me to be?
I hate this show.
I hate this show.
Why are we doing the show anymore?
I hate the show so much. Can we do it again tomorrow?
I guess I could be here for the show tomorrow. The song is from the outro to an anime we'll be reviewing later, but I think my favorite part of the anime is to listen to that song at the end.
Dude, it sounded like Moe Shop. I wonder if he did it, because it sounded exactly like, the tone of his synth.
Mm.
I thought that was one of his songs, like, literally, like, oh, man. Like, crazy, dude. I thought it was, like, a Moe Shop album.
Yeah. The song's called Lost Emotion. So.
Yeah, it's not, I know he doesn't have a song by that name, but.
Let's see, because you're asking so many goddamn fucking follow-up questions. The ending theme, Lost Emotion, was performed by Ai Kamui as her character.
Yeah. Okay. I can't think of what song it sounds like. Of course, I'll figure it out at some point, because, you know, I don't have, like, time to listen to, like, 40 songs, and, like, intro to, like, 40 songs to try to find it, figure out which one it is.
Especially when I just sprung this on you.
Yes. And it's pretty nice that we're being extra weeby today on the Day of Owls, Sean.
Is it the Day of Owls? I don't even know.
It's not only is it the Day of Owls, dude, it's the finest. It's the Day of the Finest Owls. The superb Day of Owls, if you will.
What? Oh, is it? Tell us. I'm lost. Is that a Harry Potter thing?
No, it's a we don't trust you by the NFL thing.
Oh, true. It's football today. I forgot.
It's the superb owl day.
I would remember if the Packers were in it. I'm fine.
See, as a Raiders fan, I haven't had to remember a game since like 2001. It takes a load off my mind on the day of the superb owl. I don't have any stress at all ever.
It's
the playoffs. I don't even worry about the playoffs either.
Yeah.
Playoffs? What's that?
Yeah. It was pretty funny. I was talking to Quills last night. We were comparing. I keep calling it footsie, but it's not footsie. They call like a lot of some of their like rugby and stuff like one name. I can't remember exactly. So she's in Australia, for those that don't know.
She's a paid NASA crisis actress.
Exactly, she's in Upside Down World. No, but we were making we were talking about soccer versus football because like they even though they have like. Their own like little championship games. They also have like a West Coast, East Coast, and that's a terrible way to put it because it's not broken up exactly like that. But they have like a East Coast, West Coast competition between like the provinces. So like there's like they just so they play each other.
I mean, I don't think their East Coast splits can be as bad as in America. Where, like, you know, Edmonton was in the West for a while, and so was Edmonton, and so was Detroit. Detroit was in the West for a while. Like, nobody knows what to do with, like, the Midwest.
No.
Like, especially the teams that are, like, practically on the East Coast, like, east of, like, the Great Lakes.
Hmm. Yeah, but I thought it was kind of interesting that, you know, because we don't have, like, you know, we don't just call up, like, all the football players to play, because, you know... Like, it's like, do they go based off, like, their hometown? You know, West Coast, East Coast?
Right. I don't know, man. I don't know why we're even talking about a place that doesn't exist, Sean.
Well, we were talking about the Super Bowl, and that's why we talked about this Phantom location.
This land of the fake land that Nap made up to cover for the fact
that this land is my land. This land is your land.
Have you been drinking already, Sean?
I've only been up for like an hour. Like it's. I just feel like it was like. You know, it's like at one point I'm like getting up at, you know, 7 a.m., 8 a.m. and I'm like all good to go and get a bunch of stuff done. Now I'm like, I fucking barely roll out of bed at 1. Like, fuck, I gotta get up. I got the show in an hour.
Yeah, yesterday, man, I was just extra tired. And so I told my wife, I'm like, my wife, that I was going to be going to bed soon. It was like almost 8 o'clock. And I'm like, I'm going to be going to bed soon. She's not like, really? And I'm like, you even asked me a little while ago, like, are you tired or something? Because you just seem off. And when you asked me that, I said, yes, I'm very tired.
Yeah.
So it was like a little after 8 o'clock.
Well, when you get up at midnight to go to work.
Yeah. Pretty much. And so, like, I told her, I was like, I went upstairs and she was upstairs, like, TikToking on her, like, doing some watching TikToks. And so I told her, I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna go to bed. And she's like, already? It's Saturday. And I'm like, I don't think my body cares what day it is. When it's tired, it wants to go to sleep. And so, like, I mean, I woke up a couple times throughout the night, but I finally got out of bed, and it was, like, 6:45. Yeah. So I slept a lot last night. I feel amazing.
That's good. I'm happy for you.
So, Sean, since it's bright and early for you, what is your breakfast beer of choice?
I don't know. Ironically, it's called Breakfast in Bed. This is from Weldworks Brewing. It's a sour wheat ale. It's brewed with strawberry, maple syrup, cinnamon, milk sugar, and vanilla. Oh, man. It's not as sweet as last time. The last one, which is good. This is a lot more mild in there. It's only 4.6% ABV.
Nice! I mean, you don't want to get drunk, like, in bed before you get out of bed, I guess.
Depending on who you are. Wow. It's just it's a mouthful of flavor. Like, it's hard to, like, pull all the notes. Like, you definitely get, like, I definitely got the cinnamon. You got the sour from the wheat ale. There's some sweetness to it, so it's probably the maple syrup and milk sugar that's going on. I don't know if I get the strawberry, though.
Now, strawberry's weird in beer, because either, like, it's not there, or it's, like, overpowering, and that's all you taste in, like, that fake strawberry flavor.
Yeah. I feel like it's I feel like it's in here. Like, it's very, I think it's mildly in there. I just haven't, like, I know what strawberry tastes like, but I haven't eaten strawberries in, like, probably a couple of years now. But, honestly, this one's pretty good. This is definitely a lot easier to get down than the sugar train last week. So, definitely very enjoyable.
Nice. Yeah, I know I've had a couple beers. I think, like, Untitled Arc did one, and then Bottle Logic for sure did one where it was, like, a Neapolitan stout. So it was, like, the chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry.
Yeah. Well, this was the first beer I found that had milk sugar in it, so.
You gotta take one for the team, huh?
Well, I know the milk sugar ones are mine, so. We're having my girlfriend's driving back from Ohio tonight, so she's picking up some more beer from Wild Ohio and from Urban Artifact. So we're gonna clean out the keyser and make a his side, she side, so that way I don't steal beer.
And then you have to make a first come, first serve middle. I was like, I still stand with my suggestion of just, like, put a Sharpie on top of the keys, or and whatever she wants, she has to write her name on it. And if her name isn't on it, then it's yours.
That's fair.
Like on the bottom of the can, put initials or something.
Oh, yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
Or you can just, you know, just rub your penis all over it, and she can decide if she really wants to drink it that bad. Or something if you want like to drink it that bad.
It's so cold.
Why is my beer salty? Sorry, Sean's mom. At least it's I claimed it. Like I'm washing everything, I'm bleaching every beer can lid before I drink out of it and pouring it into a cup.
Exactly. The appropriate response.
Oh.
So what beer what beer did you put your dick on?
So I'm sure you like off the show, like I was like looking at some stuff about my beer, and I was making some reaction sounds that Sean overheard. So,
I was wondering what was going on over there.
I was just looking at my beer like I'm drinking a hike beer, Sean.
A hike
so there's
beer.
Actually, wait, real quick, going back to your beer. I started listening to this podcast called Beers and Beards.
Uh-huh.
And it's not as informative as I would have hoped about the subject necessarily. I guess maybe people understand. I understand what people feel when they listen to our show. But they kind of build it as like one dude is a beer fan and one dude's a whiskey fan, and so they're going to kind of talk about and review the whiskey and beer, like each one would do one, what they specialize in or whatever. But then like the whiskey guy's like talking about like making fun of people that do whiskey reviews. He's like, yeah, you know, they talk about like the nose, how they smell like leather and this and that, and he's like, I don't smell any of that shit, it's fucking whiskey, just fucking drink it. they're like they say it's smooth drinking, and it's like, that's fucking bullshit, dude, there's no smooth drinking with bourbon.
It just burns so much, and I'm like
shit, if that's all you have to do to review whiskey, then I got that shit covered. I can just be like, pop open a cap, pour into a cup, and be like, my mouth tastes like burning. And then we're a top whiskey review podcast. But the guy that does beers is from the Natty, Sean.
The Natty?
And so he talks about going to Urban Artifact on the regular.
Oh, really? Oh, man. Yes. He should be my friend and send me stuff.
You'd have to send him some New Jersey beers, which means you'd have to go out of your house in New Jersey to go buy beers.
That's true. That seems like a lot of work. I mean, now that I have, you know, Deidre running, doing beer runs from Ohio, I got, you know, my dad sending me beer, and we have Tavor. I feel like I don't even have to leave my house anymore. I feel like it's a waste of my time to go outside.
Yeah, because if you're the more time you're outside, the less time you're inside drinking. It's not Vegas in Jersey.
Right. That is true.
So, go back to my beer. I'm drinking a hype beer, Sean. There's a brewery in Indiana called 450 North.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like the epicenter of the controversial like fruit beers that explode upon if they get above like freezing. You know, because of all the fruit sugars in the thing. Oh, and they're in Columbus, Indiana. Not just Indiana, but Columbus.
I don't even know where that is.
It's in Indiana, Sean.
Well, I meant what part of Indiana. Is there a good part of Indiana, though?
I mean, there's the part... Whenever people talk about, like, living in a good part, they only ever talk about what it borders. Like, yeah, the part of Indiana I live in is pretty good. It's, like, 30 minutes away from Chicago.
I could actually leave and go somewhere.
Yeah, anytime I ever hear anybody talk about what a good quality about Indiana, it's how close they are to a real city outside of Indiana.
Well, it took a while to get Columbus, Indiana to pop up. There was like, are you sure you want to look up this one? You don't want to look up these other places?
Like every other Columbus in the world?
Right.
So, like, And the other thing was, like, they had the controversy about them lying about the ABV on their beers. That, like, somebody got some of their beers and did, like, an independent lab result. Because they talk about, like, having these, like, heavily fruited beers that are high in ABV. And it's like, well, maybe it was, like, that high before you put the fruit in. But once you've, like, diluted it down with the fruit. And so, you know, they, like, the first guy that did the results came back. And his, like, the ABV on it was only, like, 3 or 3.5%. And then they got in on it, and they're like, no, this guy, like, must have did the test wrong, or the lab did it wrong.
Yeah.
And so that was going on for a while. But they did a collaboration with a brewery up here in Rancho Cucamonga called King's Brewing.
Rancho Cucamonga.
Which I would think it would be kind of cool if we somehow, like, I could coordinate a beer collaboration with King's Brewing, Wick's Brewing, and us. Because Wick's Brewing, their new logo is like a hop wearing a knight's helmet.
Ah, nice.
And King's Brewing is a hop wearing a crown. And then we can throw Sir Hoppy Head in there and just have like two knights and a king collaboration.
Right.
Notice I'm stalling, Sean.
Yes.
Can I actually...
Are you still trying to... What's up?
I gave my wife some to taste and she liked it. I mean, and I had to drink some of it before the reveal on the show because it foamed over. Dude, this isn't beer, man. Like, it's like soup. Like, it has like the consistency of like clam chowder, like the broth and like clam chowder.
That doesn't sound very appealing.
So it's called Peach Rings, and it claims it comes in at 6%. I believe, you know, I guess over 7%. I apologize, 7%. And it's a, like, because King's has their, like, fruit beer things called Froze.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, man. Like, for some reason, people at 450 North, like, they'll, like, rent trucks. Or if they're dumbasses, they'll just bring their little car and, like, back, bottom out the, you know, back suspension by, like, loading up cases of this shit in their car so that they could sell on the secondary market. Like, I don't think anybody that actually goes to the beer sale drinks any of this stuff. But yeah, dude. It doesn't taste peachy. It tastes more pineapple-y. I mean, there it is. Like, once it's warmed up a little bit and sat since I've opened it, like, almost a half hour ago at this point, I can taste the peach, but it's super tart, and it's not at all... Like, this isn't something you want to drink on a hot summer day to, like, quench your thirst.
No. You like, don't want that? You don't want, like, clam chowder or beer?
It's like a melted milkshake. And I don't know. I mean, of course, I guess it's popular enough at 450 North that brings all the boys to the yard. like this, it's like drinking orange. It's like mowing your yard and then like being like, you know what sounds good? A huge glass of like orange juice with melted ice cream in it. That's about the consistency. It's like if you just like poured like melted ice cream into a cup of orange juice.
That doesn't sound very good.
It's all right taste wise, but it's definitely not something you would want to drink to refresh yourself on like a summer day. This is more like I said, like a dessert beer.
Gotcha.
It is a little brutal. It is a little rough to drink. I don't know, man.
You don't know if you'll be able to take the whole thing. Just close your eyes.
And spit on it. Maybe if I water it down, it'd be easier to like. Because it's just coating my mouth and my tongue. I take a drink of that and I have to take a drink of water to like help it down.
Help get it down.
Dude, I mean, and like you know the you know old beer the old miserable bitter like beer people that got all upset whenever like hazy beers became a thing. Like, now I understand, like, their hatred towards hazy, like, towards, like, new something, like, whatever, because I don't understand how this is, like, as popular as it is. And, like, Untappd, like, the reviews, like, the ratings on this are, like, way higher, and I think that's just because people want to, like, drive up the ratings to drive up their prices. And this is, like, the beers that people have, like, meltdowns online when they can't get, like, I've been going to your brewery for years, and you sold out. You hate the locals. Nah, man, they're sparing you, dude. Speaking of sales and hating locals, so you know Russian River has Pliny the Younger. And they have a beer, an IPA, Pliny the Elder, that's been around for years. And normally, like, once a year, they'll brew a specialty version of it called Pliny the Younger. And, like, normally, you have, like, they have, like, special events at tap rooms, like, different bars and stuff, where, like, basically you have to buy a bunch of their beer and then have, like, a Pliny the Younger day. And then generally either people do it as a raffle or you have to stand in line to get a bracelet or something just to get to buy this beer. So this year, because of COVID, they did the sale online.
Mm-hmm.
And the beer literally, like, all of it literally sold out in 30 seconds.
Wow. That's ridiculous.
And, you know, people, like, had bought some stuff, like, merchandise, like Pliny the Younger merchandise, like face masks or hoodies or whatever, so they could have their credit card information in. And they also, for some reason, thought that would give them, like, front-of-the-line privileges. But, like, the way it worked basically was, like, you added your beer to your cart, you checked out, and you entered your information, and then from there, you were entered into a virtual queue. And then, like, depending on how fast you entered your information was where your line was. And then because and up until that point, you thought, well, I mean, they let me enter the number of beers I wanted. They let me put my credit card information in, and now I'm just standing in line waiting to check out. And then a lot of those got canceled, or, like, messages back. It's like, I'm sorry, this beer is sold out. And everybody pretty much just lost their shit. It was fun for them.
It was fun to watch, though, right?
It was fun to watch, like, the aftermath. Yes. Because they had, like, it was like you got a couple bottles of Pliny the Younger, a couple of Elder, and then a couple other beers in there. And one went, like, a Saison and something else. And so, I don't know, man. It's like people forget that, you know, like, on Pliny the Younger Day, like, you know, there's hundreds of places that have the beer that you still have to stand in line for each individual place. So I don't know why they thought this beer wouldn't sell out fast.
Who knows? I don't know, man. I think almost a lot of, as long as you have a decent name, like, it's going to, you know, stuff's going to sell out quickly. It's just one of those things. I mean, like, most people don't even know about Earnest Brewing, but I bet their shit sells out very quick if they have limited edition runs. It's all about being popular in the community and whatnot.
Right. And not only that, but if it takes, like, Bottle Logic experiences with, like, their flagship of the Stasis projects, the Fundamental Observation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for years, like, this beer sold out fast, and, like, you know, a friend of the show, Jaime from Core Brewing in Arkansas.
Like, Jaime.
when we were talking about beers, he was talking about, like, Fundamental Observation. Like, for him to get it is, like, at one point was, like, $200 a bottle, and now it's dropped in price. It's still more expensive out there than it is out here, but I got here, I could go to La Bodega right now and get this year's Fundamental Observation and last year's Fundamental Observation. But, like, as soon as it started becoming more available, people started shitting on it. It's like, well, of course it's not sold out. It doesn't taste as good. Like, they didn't put as much vanilla in it, or they didn't do this, or they didn't do that. And it's like, oh, you're just sad because you bought this. You bought, like, the maximum allotment, because you might have wanted to drink one or even none, and then turn around and try to flip it on the secondary market.
Exactly. And now you're
not making as much profit.
Now you're a sad panda.
So you're trying now you're trying to justify it by saying the beer sucks, not because the brewery has grown and been able to produce more because they have more money to afford more ingredients.
Yeah. No, I think part of it is just people trying to be able to buy and flip stuff, especially if there's a very well-known brewery like Weldworks, or, to your point,
Bottle Logic.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's what's going on with Pliny the Younger. Like, it's popped up on beer sites and stuff for at least $100 a bottle. So, when it was like $80 or $100 for the pack, they had like eight bottles in it of everything. So, whatever. Like, I could go to La Bodega and get Pliny the Elder, but it's fun to, whenever I talk to beer people for a while, it was like, have you tried Pliny the Elder? And it's like, yeah, no, I mean, I've had multiple chances to buy it, but I just refuse at this point, just to piss you off.
Oh, that sounds about right.
Just, are you triggered now that I've not bought it? Like, I've had multiple times to buy it. I'm like, yeah, it's fine. Oh man, but so some beer like drama popped up on Reddit, Sean.
Oh no, what happened now?
So this woman posted on r/brewery, which is basically like a industry, more geared towards the industry subreddit, right? And she was talking about how she left Boulevard in March of last year because of harassment because she was pregnant. And it says her boss stood her and another female employee up in front of the lab, in front of another coworker, and demanded to know if we were pregnant. When he refused to answer, he told the other woman, "The only way you could be pregnant is by your cat." Then continued to ask me. I reported this to HR, but it started a cycle of reporting his behavior to HR and then being punished by him for going to HR. And so basically, like, this guy was one of those like assholes that everyone's like, "Oh, why are you letting him bother you? That's just how he is." But I guess like says that when a coworker found out I was pregnant, the response was like, "Oh, he didn't take it well, did he?" And the brewmaster described him as a monkey. In spite of this, I was asked to come up with solutions to help fix his bad behavior. When I acted on these, I was called antisocial. It was made clear that I was the problem for not handling it better. They had asked me in my interview if I could handle working with men, so it was my problem. It's like, what does that even mean? Like, can you handle being, like working in an environment where people aren't held accountable for their actions?
I
And I
just
guess.
thought it was gonna be, getting whipped by towels in the shower.
Right? And so
And
they recently hired.
who could throw the bag of grain the farthest? Stupid innocent shit like that.
Right. So they recently hired a female brewer gearing up to promote a Women's Day beer with special glassware. Like all marketing, this is a smokescreen for how they actually treat their employees. I've also already been accused of not supporting women in brewing because of my criticism of this event. And so basically, like they're talking about this guy, like one of the things, like his standard interview questions apparently when interviewing women for jobs was, do you have kids or do you plan on having kids in the future? And then of course, Boulevard, one of those like non-apology apologies, which received a ton of backlash, and then a couple days later they actually kind of apologized. And well, and it's like on the first post when she posted this, people were like, "Well, I need to see proof. I don't believe if I don't see it, proof it didn't happen." And like I was listening to another beer podcast, one of the hosts is a lawyer, and he's like, "When you have hundreds of employees coming forward and saying that, yeah, this guy is a piece of shit, like why do you personally need proof?
Yeah.
Random beer guy like that probably doesn't even live in the same, just never even had
State.
Boulevard beer."
Yeah.
Right. And so of course like they ended up letting him go, and like a woman who's in PR who probably is the one that issued the first apology, and then like a couple days after the second apology and them being let go, another post popped up on Reddit as someone claiming to be one of a Boulevard employee saying that they've shown that they could take the brewery back. Like they're in charge now and they're not going to let that culture happen. So I don't know, man. It seems like they're at least kind of handling it a little bit better than like Founders did with their whole printer thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's I mean, they actually let the people go as opposed to just like in initiating some training programs and saying that like they'll do better in the future. But yeah, man, that's pretty crazy. I can't imagine like someone thinking it's okay in an interview to ask a woman, it's like, "So are you gonna have a baby anytime soon? Because we need to know to like if we should hire you or not because of that."
Yeah, no, that's ridiculous.
But then it was announced recently, Sean, by this aluminum group that there is going to be an aluminum shortage, which will affect beer cans.
Uh-oh.
And they said that it could take up until 2025, 2026 for the beer can volume to like actually like the capacity of producing to meet up with demand.
That sucks.
So I was just wondering, it's like, does that mean it'll affect like soda companies, like Coke or Pepsi, where it's like, are they going to be able to, are they going to run out of cans, or is that just going to affect like local breweries that can't necessarily buy, you know, years worth of aluminum, and all these breweries that bought canning lines to get rid of the bottle end because bottles don't sell. So it'll be interesting to see how that affects the beer community, if they have to go back to bottling.
Yeah, and I think, you know, think of all the, you know, vegetable cans as well. You know, there's a lot of things that are probably going to get preference versus, you know, Joe's Brewing Company.
Right. And here's the exact tweet. I finally found it. It says, for the most part, the North American can industry is sold out for the next 24 to 36 months, and we don't see the supply chain catching up to real demand until 2025, 2026. So, I mean, it's like, I guess now's a good time to be working in the aluminum can industry because you're going to have to be working extra hours making that money.
True. That is true.
It's like when M&M's turned down the offer to be in the movie E.T. and Reese's Pieces was like, cool beans, we'll do it. And then because of the rise in sales, they had to like keep their plants open 24 hours a day to keep up with the demand of Reese's Pieces.
Yeah.
Sucks to be M&M's. Oh, man. Speaking of things that suck, Sean, we got a new Destiny trailer.
We got some more. How dare you? Rude. Fucking rude.
you almost just let that go.
Whether you liked it or not, we stepped into a war with the Cabal in Season of the Chosen. So we got a new Cabal leader in town, and in the intro, she's talking to Savala, the head of all the Guardians, and she's saying that with her army in the light, we could destroy the Hive. And then she looks at Savala and just says, bow down. And Savala says, no. And then there's like guns at Savala, like, we're gonna fuck you up. And then it goes into, you know, random shooting and whatnot and about what's gonna happen. So they have these battlefield things, kind of, is the new season activity is called Battlefields. So we'll see what it's about. I'm assuming we're just gonna have to take down people. I'm sure there'll be some kind of objective. But they, you know, with every teaser, they don't really explain everything that's going on, just kind of gives you a spoon sample of what to kind of expect this Tuesday. So we'll have some, like I said, we'll have some battlefield stuff going on, and then we have new trials gear, which is pretty cool. So it's been a while since we were able to get actually new gear this go around. So I definitely enjoy that piece. The gear looks pretty freaking slick at that too, man. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at the new armor.
Not too much. The only thing I saw was that the new special weapon is some sort of multi-targeting bow.
Oh, the exotic, yeah.
Yeah, and then but like going back to what you said about the whole like spoon feeding thing, like basically they just set up like Zavala being like more snarky than he ever is. Like he's pretty much the snarkiest of all the snark in the game.
Right.
and him to be like, you know, because there's that like you forgot like when she asked like when he was told to kneel, you forgot there was like that dramatic pause where he was just looking at her like, is this bitch for real? And then he's like,
don't you know who I am, bitch?
Right. And then like you said, just a bunch of pew-pews and kind of showing off the new bow.
Yeah, pretty much. So, so we are getting two old strikes from Destiny 1 back, and then we are getting a new strike, so that's three new strikes this season, or this for this season, two reskins. And then we have the Guardian Games coming back up, so that takes place later on, though, in April. So we got a while for that piece. But yeah, no, I think it's been it'll be an interesting season. Like I think I've told everybody, like, the seasons are hit or miss. So I mean, I'm sure there'll be some fun stuff that pops up, but I don't think it's like ever overly crucial to, you know, get the season pass or anything, because there's usually, it's always like, you know, they release a new gun or a new bounty or something that's always fun to do. So we don't have Vogue yet, so I'm assuming that's next season, hopefully next season. So maybe that it'll be like these three strikes are the main piece, and then we'll get Vogue next season. But no, I think, like I said, I don't think it'll be too bad. We got new gear. They got this season's weapon was a grenade launcher, so you could earn that across the three primary activity types, so Gambit, Crucible, and Strikes, and then you could probably get skins for those. I was telling Quills last night, too, I was like, I think what they should do is they should, in the main DLC drop, they should drop, like, three weapons for geared towards Vanguard, Crucible, and Gambit. And then the next three seasons, they just release one gun that's geared towards one of those. And then every season it rotates. So, like, every year you get two guns geared toward that game type. Just to kind of, you know, add more content, but don't feel like they have to just overly pump out stuff.
Right, and then also at the same time, like, to the players, it feels like they're getting more weapons than they are.
Yeah, exactly. So, we'll see. I mean, there's some new trials weapons, so I feel like they're trying to help the PvP crowd, but the, I don't know, like I was reading something, and it seems like the trials group is so small that it's all, like, you're basically your top Crucible players, so it's very hard to get a lot of wins in because of that. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. They do have a new sniper rifle, so I'm a little upset because I might have to grind for that one, because typically PvP snipers are really good for Gambit and such, so I might have to look into getting that one.
I don't know, man. Like, it's weird, like, you know, you in, like, the Destiny subreddit are like, oh, yeah, and this weapon's amazing in the circumstances. And I'm like, I don't know, man. This auto rifle, like, I just, like, pull down the pew button and keep holding it down until it goes click and things die. Like, I think it's pretty amazing, too.
Yeah. No, that's true. I think, like, 9 hunger is, like, one of the best, is, like, one of the top guns right now. It's an auto rifle with pretty good stability and a heavy, heavy, heavy magazine. It's just easy just to wipe things. Plus, with the void damage, I like it because it's really good for helping break shields in Gambit towards once you're in the primeval stage. So
that makes sense.
It's always good, and it's also good in the expansion pack. With on Europa, because all the fucking captains have void shields for whatever reason. So
they can hate you.
Yeah, they hate me. So that's always nice too. No, so it should be interesting on Tuesday. I'm looking forward to it.
I know. I probably didn't finish stuff, but then I've also, like, kind of given up on getting the stuff I didn't finish before I even realized there was a new expansion coming out on Tuesday, which made me even give up, like, even more want to give up on not getting the stuff I got.
Oh, like Season of the Hunt stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, because if you're just doing stuff on Europa, then there's no reason to give up. But no, I could see. I
got the grenade launcher.
What was that?
I said, I don't think I ever got the grenade launcher.
Yeah, oh,
I didn't.
Oh, gotcha. That grenade launcher sucks.
I was going to say, because there's only one grenade launcher that I use, and it's not even, it's like a blue one. Not even purple, because it has, like, the only grenade launcher function that I actually find helpful is the sticky grenades.
Oh, nice. Yeah, you just have to grind, get it. It drops in the purple ones. You just got to find one. Like, yeah, I think the only gun from the season of Hunt that was really good, well, that was decent, was the scout rifle. Like, the rest of it was just, like, whatever.
The scout rifle that they start you off with, it kind of pops up its own little, like, mini turret thing? That one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do use that one. That one's fun, because it's, like, the more you kill, then it starts, like, helping you kill things.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So, apparently, they're supposed to be coming out with a remaster of the Mass Effect games, Sean.
Yep.
And they announced some changes, and that set off enough to, like, get a post on the subreddit drama subreddit.
Oh, come on. Why can't we just have anything nice?
It says, remaster of the Mass Effect games. Change some camera angles not to focus on a female character's ass. Our games discuss if this is literally 1984 or the fall of Western gaming. And so, you know, in Mass Effect 2, there's a scene, I guess. I haven't played any of them, but I guess there's a scene where the camera focuses on Miranda's ass a lot, including serious conversations about her trauma and abuse from her father. And it's like, all right, like, if she's sitting there talking about how her dad used to, like, sexually abuse her or beat her or whatever, then, like, maybe the camera doesn't need to be on her ass, but maybe if it's a scene where you're trying to, like, seduce her, because it seems like they're at least keeping that function, you know, game, so that it does get to keep the moniker that, you know, people playing jokingly call it of ass effect.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
it's like, I mean, I would say definitely, like, if there's different, I mean, there's definitely some spicy love scenes in throughout the game. So, I mean, I think it's got to make sense. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't, like, yeah, and I mean, I don't remember. Which character did you say was talking about the being sexually abused?
I don't know if it was sexual. It's just they talk about, right. Miranda, and it says including during serious conversations about her trauma and abuse from her father. So I don't know if it was like physical, mental, or sexual, but I'm just saying it's like
probably mental abuse, because Miranda basically is supposed to be genetically modified to be the perfect, like, weapon, from beauty to the size of her, like, she talks about, yeah, exactly, she's supposed to be like very, you know, she's supposed to be very pretty, very powerful, you know, smart, and being able to lead teams. So, like, there's a, like, she never had, like, the chance to just, like, grow up. Everything that she did from her childhood on was just mostly about, like, how is she going to be, like, the perfect weapon. So, I mean, I could see why there's going to definitely have things with that. And I think, like, sometimes the camera does, like, show random, like, you know, I think there's, like, cutscenes where they're talking and, like, they walk through, like, the camera, so there's probably, like, some opportunities.
Yeah, so one of the comments is, of course they would remove the ass shots. This is 2021. Sex appeal in video games is very bad. Might as well have made her overweight at the same time, you know, to pander to everyone that hates attractive women in video games. And then the person, like, somebody replied, it's like, it's amazing that you can respond to a comment yet avoid all points I've made. This has nothing to do with removing ass shots because, quote unquote, some people hate attractive women in video games. If it was about removing, quote unquote, sex appeal, then why the hell are the sex scenes left in? Why are all the other camera angles for other characters like Samara not being changed? It's all about the tonal clash of a serious conversation with shots of her ass. So it just seems like it's that one scene where she's talking about her dad abusing her, and they're like, well, you know, since there's nothing really exciting going on, we'll just show you her ass some more.
Yeah.
This is, you know, boring talking, talky. You can look at her ass.
Yeah. No, I mean, it makes sense. It makes sense why they're changing it. I think it's silly that this is even a conversation.
Right, the fact that it's like, well, we're just removing it from the scenes, like, where it doesn't fit the tone of the conversation. Like, you can still, like, make femshep and have all the hot lesbian sex you want to masturbate to, but literally when she's talking to her, like, you don't really need to be looking at her ass. How dare you take one shot of her ass away from me? I shall not tread on my ass shots.
Oh, my God. What are you drinking now? Water, canned water?
No. Oh, kind of, I guess. It's an Italian-style pilsner called Paleo from Alvarado Street Brewing.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I love pilsner so much right now.
Do you?
They're like everything good about the IPA but the hops. Like, there's a little bit of hops in there, like, so it's not quite like a lager like Budweiser. But you're also not drinking. It's like a subtle IPA, so it's not like you're full on drinking a Christmas tree. It's like you're walking into a room that has a Christmas tree in it, as opposed to actually drinking the water out of the base of it. You know?
Yeah.
It's like it's got the hop, just enough of a hop taste to let you know there's hops in there. I mean, this is a little hoppier, but I'm drinking it out of a can, so I don't know if pouring into a glass would cut down on that. Because, but there's also like Italian style pilsners, Czech style pilsners, German style pilsners. So I think the Italian is a little more hoppy than the other two.
Mm-hmm.
But this is definitely something you can drink when you are like, you know, sitting by a pool or barbecuing, or, you know, after you get done mowing your yard on a hot summer day.
On a hot summer day.
Poured this into the 450 North, if that would like cut it down a little bit. Like, you can't do pure heroin. You have to cut it down a little bit.
Jeez.
But speaking of like sex appeal in video games, Sean, you played the Resident Evil demo.
True. I decided to give it a go because I was looking up the other demo we're going to talk about, and I was like, oh, it's on here. I was like, I might as well play and get an understanding of what happens. I will tell you right now that I don't know if the demo did enough to even make it to where I could give you a fair review of the game and tell you that you should buy it.
But that means...
It's that short. What's up? Okay. Yeah, I did make it to the vampires. So basically, like, you start in a dungeon, and you have to escape, and you gotta solve some puzzles with creepy sounds kind of going on, and then you get, you basically, towards the end, you bump into the daughter, and get attacked, and then you run away, and you think you're about to escape, and then... The big sexy lady stops you, and then basically she grabs you, picks you up, and then makes her claw hand, and then stabs you, and then it's the end of the demo. Like, literally, you literally figure out how to get out of the dungeon, and that's, like, all there is to the demo. So, like, I don't know how much more, if the game's just gonna be hide from sexy vampire ladies the whole time. Like, because there's no fighting or anything. Like, there was no weapons that I could get. It was just like, I just found tools to escape, so.
So the only thing the good that came out of the demo was all the memes and GIFs of sexy vampire lady?
Basically.
My favorite was, like, you know, I figured out a flaw in her character design, and it was, like, how to hide from her and just stand under her boobs and she can't see you.
Right.
Oh, man. And then somebody made a GIF of her just, like, shaking them.
Jeez. Yeah, it's a little out of control now.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. What is it with, like, super short demos that, like, barely give you a taste of the game? Because that's the same thing with the second demo that we both played, Immortals Phoenix Rising.
Correct.
Which, like, to me, it's, like, as soon as I started playing it and they showed, like, the characters and I'm like... Is this what the characters are supposed to look like, or is this, am I just getting shortchanged because I'm on the PlayStation 4 and they look amazing on the PlayStation 5, or are they trying to like stylize it? Because it looks and even like the way you play the game, it kind of feels just like, you know, that the meme of like asking your mom, it's like, hey, can we have McDonald's? And your mom, it's like, we have McDonald's at home, and then they show what the McDonald's at home is like. But in this case, like, Horizon Zero Dawn is the McDonald's, and Immortals Phoenix Rising is the McDonald's at home.
Right. Yeah, no, dude, I don't know. That game, the storytelling of that game just started to really get on my nerves. Like, I couldn't even, like, deal with it at some point.
Right, because it's so annoying. And Prometheus.
Prometheus, correct.
Immortals fire, like, he's chained, and so... like Prometheus is going to tell a story, and Zeus is like, you tell it boring, and it's like, and Prometheus is like, yeah, but you, none of what you tell is the truth.
Yeah.
And like, there is one point though that like you said, like it got annoying, and then there's one point where like they start arguing about something, and the character like looks up, like make up your fucking mind. Let me, what am I doing?
Yeah.
And then yeah, I was like, okay, that's kind of clever. At least that one bit.
Yeah, I mean the gameplay seemed okay. It was just kind of hack slash combos. So I don't know. I don't feel like it did anything to make it to where I want to buy the game.
If anything, it made it to where I realized this is a game that I'm probably going to wait until it's free on PlayStation Plus.
I don't know. I'll play it.
I mean, it depends on what my backlog is like, but yeah. I don't know, dude. Like you said, like playing this, and it wasn't because it was bad. It just seemed boring because, like you said, it was like hack and slash. You know, just a bunch of combos, like button mashing combos, and like the whole point of the demo is you have to go free the Cyclops from ice, and then you free it from ice, and then that's when they're like arguing over the secret, and then the guy's like, who cares about the secret? The Cyclops wants to fight you, now you're gonna fight it.
Right.
And then that's the end of the demo. And it's like, okay. Like, I thought it was gonna be longer, so I was like had stuff to do, and like if I would have just sat down and played it, it probably would have been what, like 30 minutes?
Yeah, probably.
But I thought it would be longer, so I kinda put it off. Like, but yeah. I don't know. Oh, man. Before we get into weeb time, Sean, I got some complaints.
About what?
About our stream.
Why are you complaining?
So my complaints are about VRV and Funimation. So, like, Funimation, like, sometimes, you know, it's like I'll watch a show and then I'll come back to watch it later. Or, like, if I have something to do, I'll, like, back out of the show and go to start watching it.
Yeah.
And then it'll start, it won't automatically start watching the next show. For some reason, it'll start showing the show that I previously watched. So then I have to go into the watch list and like actively go to the next show. Same thing with like VRV. Like it's weird. Like if I watch one show at a time, it'll keep track of what I watch. So it's like if I watch episode 9 and then back out and then it'll, you know, continue watching, it'll be episode 10 on there. But if I watch like 8, 9, 10 and I have like 11 next, it won't register that I watched all of them until I go watch list. And then on my watch list, it'll show the next show up on top of the watch list. It'll say that, next show watch is 11. And I'll be like, why couldn't you do that on the homepage? Why do I have to go in here? Why do I have to take extra steps to watch something? You know, this isn't a problem with Netflix or Disney. Like, why can't these things get their shit together is basically my complaint. I don't know if you've had that problem.
Not really. Like, sometimes, like, Funimation, like, if, like, I pause it and then, like, I go back to it, like, I'm in the middle of the episode, like, I'll have to exit the episode and then restart, like, then go back into it to get it to play. That's usually the problem that I have with it.
Right, but in either case, it's not, like, as smooth as Netflix, where, like, Netflix doesn't give a shit. Like, you can watch, like, a TV series in a row. Except for the last episode, and they're like, "Yeah, dude, don't worry about it, man. We know where you are."
Yeah.
But that being said, Sean, you watched a couple animes.
I sure did, Daniel. I sure did. So we talked about season one of ReZero a while ago, and if I was probably more prepared, I would probably figure out what episode. But season 2 came out, and season 2 is 26 episodes, or it looks to be 26 episodes. They broke it up into two different parts. So I've made it through part 1, and I'm one episode from being caught up on part 2.
So they made one season into two parts as opposed to making it two seasons of 13 episodes, making the fans feel like they get more?
Something like that. I think it just had to do with COVID and the production and whatnot, so they just... They split up, they broke it up, season 2, into two parts. So, because it's still under season 2, like, if you look on VRV, like, it's not like season 2, 13 episodes, season 3, you know, at episode 8 or something. It's all under season 2. So this season has gotten a little bit more in depth about the world that's kind of going on, and you start to really understand like his power of, because to go back, so basically the main character, when he dies, he restarts his life from a certain point, like a checkpoint, so he can't die, but he has no other powers, and he's like, and he's from, like, our normal world, and he's in a magic world. So, but the problem is he feels everything. So, like, when he gets, like, murdered, like, he gets murdered and he feels it. And then he dies, he, like, wakes up suddenly back at a certain point. So it's a bit of a mind fuck, in a sense, because all this is going on. And so basically, in the end of the first season, they kill this giant whale that's destroying, that started killing everybody and whatnot. And then they end up getting, they get trapped in a forest. And then basically, he ends up having to, he ends up communicating with the Witch of Greed. And in this season, you get to talk to, he talks to all the different witches of the seven deadly sins. It's interesting because I like the way they partake the philosophy of it. So if we take gluttony, the witch Gluttony created basically a giant whale, a cobra, and then the white rabbits. And basically they're all deadly and they kill humans, right? But, you know, the whale is so massive. And, like, the rabbits, they always, you have to kill them all at once or else they'll never, like, go away because they'll just keep populating. And she's like, I created animals to make sure that nobody goes hungry again on Earth. So it's a very interesting philosophy, and it's kind of like that with all the witches. And so right now, and it's kind of really laced how Amelia, the, you know, the main love interest of the character, is kind of wrapped up in one of the witches, because they all, she's always been called like the witch of the ice and so forth. And there's been a lot of like hints about how the Witch of Envy is kind of tied to her a little bit, but because they're doing that, I feel like, you know, they're making you look one way to hit you with some kind of twist on the other side. If so, that's where I feel like I'm like, this has to be it, but then I'm like, it's too obvious, so it can't be it. But it's very, it's a very good anime and a very good series. It's very it's got some pretty funny, lighthearted parts to help break it up, but it is at the end of the day a pretty serious anime, and it definitely keeps you engaged, and you have to pay attention because there's a lot of stuff going on in the anime. So I definitely, this is another anime that I would definitely recommend to those that haven't watched it yet, and it's a ReZero.
Is that the one with Rem in it, the character Rem with blue hair?
With Rem, yeah, and Rom, yep.
Okay, then Rom has pink hair?
Correct.
Okay, I just know that from the figures and the memes.
Yep.
Which is probably why you started watching the show.
Probably back in the day. Yeah, it's funny. I like to bust on Quattro's chops because he loves Rem, but I'm an Amelia fan, so I always just like, I like to send him memes every once in a while of how Amelia is best girl.
Super waifu. I saw somebody post something on Instagram, and it was like, if you know, it's like, if you're an adult and one of these are your waifu, and it just showed like a bunch of different anime girls, and it's like, you're a pedophile.
It's funny.
It is.
It's too funny. So the theme song, well, not the theme song, but the outro song that we were listening to earlier today, is from an anime called Super X Heroes. And like I said, the best part of this anime was probably that song to me. I don't like the anime is pretty ridiculous, and basically these this alien race of bugs come to Earth to drain people's life force, and the life force they're really taking is like their sexual energy and their enjoyment and stuff. So basically everybody that gets like their life source sucked out just becomes like immune and doesn't care about like people or anything. So it's pretty ridiculous. So like the heroes are all people, are all you know, people that have like high sex energy, and they have to like boost up their levels so that way they could do like these like different attacks and defeat the bugs. And it just goes like the whole anime, the all 12 episodes are just about typical like, oh, there's a bug at the beach, and it's like, you know, and they're controlling this, and it's like a, and then of course it goes into, you know, classic beach scene activities and issues and stuff. So it's not the best anime for sure. I mean, it is trash. There's some decent funny parts throughout it, but it's nothing like anybody's missing.
Right. Like, the one thing I will give it credit for is, like, you know, because whenever the, in the, whenever they use their powers, like, their clothes just, like, fall off them. Like, they get shredded. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like I talked about last week, where it's, like, if you're going to show something, either, like, censor it differently or don't show it at all. Like, but don't, like, black screen it. Like, you know, what was that anime that, Redo of Healer. And
yeah.
Does,
oh like, my god, this week was so bad, dude. I had to go look for the uncensored version. Ironically, like Danny, ironically, watched it on YouTube.
So it's not even that bad, huh?
You know what? I'm not gonna get into what YouTube censors and doesn't censor, but I thought that I saw that it was on YouTube and I watched the uncensored version. So you know, YouTube could do whatever they like, I guess.
But YouTube is usually pretty uptight about censorship. But at least in, like, Super X Heroes, like, you know, like, they either, like, conveniently place something in front of, like, the parts, like the nipples or the crotchal region. Like the beach episode, they were fighting these, like, bugs that suck their life energy. And, like, the bugs were on their boobs or whatever. Or if they actually do show, like, something where it's uncensored, like they do the J.J. Abrams, you know, light effect where, you know, they put light instead of like blacking out the whole screen.
Yeah.
But they don't even like bright out the whole screen. It's just the boobs are light, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like that was my point, whole point with Redo of Healer. It's like, come on, dude, you could do that. Like, and without making it where I'm watching a black screen for no reason.
Yeah. Or just like, just cutting full, parts of the dialogue out.
Yes.
So you have no idea, like, what was said between the two things?
Right, it's like having a phone conversation and then driving through the tunnel, and then the person you're talking to be like, you agree, right?
Yeah. You know what the best part about Redo Healer is? Quattros hates it, but he still wants to know, like, what happens. But I think that's, like, the best way to sum up Redo of Healer is, like, it's a terror, it's like a bad things happen to a guy. He's doing terrible things. He's like a good, sometimes is a good guy in certain lights and scenarios. But you just like, you don't like vote for him, but you're just like hooked once you start watching it. Cause you just got to see where does it keep going.
Right. Right. That was like one of the complaints about people when like, whenever he did the horrible things to the girl and they're like, how dare he? And it's like, wait, what, you know, like, you're kind of being hypocritical if you're outraged at what he's doing, but not what was done to him.
Yeah, exactly.
And they weren't, like, and the funny thing is, like, no one was necessarily defending what he was doing. It was more a thing of, like, if you're going to be, like, mad about what he's doing, then you have to be mad about what happened to him. Because he was, like, raped by, like, her whole army pretty much at one point.
Yeah.
And locked in a cage and drugged and our cave and, like, or in the dungeon and drugged and all this stuff. And so, yeah. If you're like, yeah, that's an interesting story, but what he's doing is horrible, then you're a horrible person.
Yeah, like, what she used to do is, like, she would pour, like, the drugs all over her crotch and, like, let him lick it off of her. And then throw him out, and then, like, her sidekick would, like, take him out into the forest and then beat him and be like, because he was, like, in love with the princess, so he was, like, super upset that he was able to do all this stuff to her. And he's just like beating him, and then he goes back to his tent, and then like the third guy is in love with him because he's got some weird like kid thing go complex going on. So he beats him and rapes him. It's like Jesus, man. Like these, it's like to your point. Like, yeah, he's not doing very nice things to these people, but you know, it wasn't like they are innocent either at the same time.
Right. And so I guess that's where the drama of the story comes from. It's like, is he justified in his actions or not? Because,
It,
or is
yeah, I was gonna say it's the two wrongs don't make a right.
Yes. Is he a victim or is he a victimizer? So,
Knows?
exactly.
All right. Well, I think we've victimized everybody else listening to this show. We're gonna end it here. Thank you guys for sticking around for another fun-filled episode. Make sure you follow us on Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Amazon Podcast. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Danny, are you still posting on your Untappd?
I am doing that. I'm not posting as much on Instagram. I need to get back to that. Like, I'm like an old, my old comes through sometimes where I'm like, I forget that like I'm not posting stuff for me on social media. I'm doing it for the podcast. And it's like nobody gives a shit about what I'm doing. And it's like, oh wait, like I have to promote the podcast.
Yeah. And I'll just say that you're going to bed too early to remember.
Something like that, yes. Not the fact that, I'm like at home all day. So I'll be posting more interesting stuff. I got some stuff coming in the mail. I can post that.
Boy.
Plus one of the things if I could, pick one thing to do with the podcast is like to promote small businesses. So I got to promote more breweries that, more beer, all my beers that I drink and stuff like that.
Yeah, you do.
All right, everybody.
We'll see you next time.
Later.
Later, skaters.